kind of going a little bit different direction actually this morning, and this evening's a little bit different direction than the messages I was going to preach, but it's just what the Lord has laid on my heart. And if I don't feel like this is working, I'll just go back to my file back there and get the other one. And so make it work, okay? Or else we'll just have to double this up here. But anyways, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you and so forth. But Romans chapter 10, we're going to read three verses. Well, we'll read them together. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read verses 13, 14, and 15. And we can just read them all together. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 13, and we'll end with 15. Ready? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's my title tonight. That last little phrase there, glad tidings of good things. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We do thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for this church, and we thank you for the unity and the spirit that we have here, and how we work for that, Lord, and how we always must maintain a good spirit. I believe for you to go ahead and do great things here. And Lord, I pray you just continue to bless each and every member. I pray you'd be with every church member, every teenager, every family, every child, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you just continue to have your hand upon this place. Pray, God, as we venture into another year, as we don't see down the road exactly what the days ahead will bring, but help us to trust you and keep our eyes upon you and focused on you 100%. And help us just to keep on following your path and your will now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The words there, the last words of verse number 15, glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings can be that of, can equal that of good news of good things or glad tidings of good things. If you watch any amount of news at all, you'll see that at the end of every year, just of course last week, several news segments on the channels there, they'll go ahead and go over the things of the year. You know, many, many, it could be political, it can be entertainment, it can be deaths, it can be all kinds of things that happened throughout the year. Much of it can be negative. And some can be positive, like many American soldiers killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. They total all that up, and sometimes, a lot of times, it's with a negative spin. But picking and poking at a political party, and that's been the subject, and who did this, and what administration did this, and who is blamed for the economy or whatever. What is the better party? The deaths of so-called superstars, for example, Michael Jackson, and how they spent much time in the news with him, and Farrah Fawcett, and other stars, and actors, and sports stars, and their problems, and different things, and the scandals of these stars, and so forth. The economy, and whose fault it is, kind of pointing back to the previous administration, or it's this administration, whatever. They'll go ahead and review all that, and like I said, much of it is negative. Instead of glad tidings, it brings sad or bad tidings. And these things, if we're not careful, these things will affect our own spirit. You know, sometimes you go ahead and you watch the news and different things, and you know, all this is happening in Iraq, this is happening in Afghanistan, the economy's tanking, so to speak, and so forth. It's amazing, people are still working, you know, whatever. But we'll go ahead and look at things, and if we're not careful, we'll just say, well, I guess, you know, we must be at the end here, and we may very well be. You know, Jesus may be coming, and that's great if he does, and we're going to talk about that in a moment and so forth, but if you're not careful, it'll affect your spirit. Well, we're at the end of the world, or this and that. Why even bother? Why even bother to live right? Why even bother to do this? Why even, you know, and if we're not careful, all this news, and I'm not opposed to necessarily watching the news, if you will, because I do watch the news, as my wife will tell you, but the truth of it is, if you're not careful, it will affect your spirit. The negativism of the news, if you will, can affect your spirit. It may affect your spring in your step. It may affect that joy that you ought to have. These kind of reports can cause us to see the bad rather than the good. But I want to say, as a child of God, we have some good things to tell, amen? Like, for instance, it is good that Jesus descended. Amen. It is good that Jesus died. Amen. It is good that Jesus declared his deity. It is good that Jesus dominated over death. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. It is good that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Because I live, ye shall live also, he said. As we think about the new year, as we think about launching into a new year, 3 days into it, if you will, there will be some negative things that will be recognized at the end of this year. They'll go ahead and they've already started. They've already, the newsmakers, the news people, the reporters already got their little pad out. They've already started writing down all the things, starting with January 1st, how maybe it didn't come out with a bang, or maybe the ball didn't drop right in New York. I don't know. And the weather was bad. They'll have all the things that'll go on, and it may be negative. But on the other hand, God's people, we have a lot of things to shout about. Amen. We have a lot of good things to tell. We have a lot of great things to tell. But we ought not be dwelling on the negative, but we ought to accentuate the positive. That's what I'm going to try to do tonight. Glad tidings ought to be what we as God's people major upon. When we get to the end of 2010, I'm confident as we reflect back on the year review that we can truly say, if we look at it with the right perspective, and as men and ladies of God, as Christians, as we look back at the end of this year on that year in review, I'm confident that we can say glad tidings of good things. As I think about the coming year, I thought of a few things I'd like to take an opportunity at that. There's some things I'd like to see this year. Number one, moving right into it. Number one, I want to see sinners being saved. Amen. I want to continue to see sinners being saved. Just as last year and the year before that and the year before that, I've had the privilege of leading people to Christ, lost souls to Jesus Christ. This church, as she has for all these years, since I believe 1989, we've been a soul-winning church. We've held the standard high. We've been out door knocking week after week and month after month and year after year, trying to win lost souls to Christ, winning lost souls to Christ, bringing them in on the buses, knocking on doors and telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ, seeing folks saved. We must never lose our soul-winning emphasis. We must never lose that zeal. Hey, if we're not careful, we're going to lose that zeal. We're going to say, well, we're going to hear people say, it can't be done. You know, there's certain pockets of Christianity, well, you know, it just doesn't work. Soul winning doesn't work anymore. It still works, my friend. I've just won a soul to Christ last week. Hey, what I'm trying to say, it still works. There's still some lost boys and girls that need to be saved. There's still some mama and daddies that need to be saved. There's still some people out there, some lost out there that need to be saved. Hey, we ought not lose our soul winning zeal. We ought not lose our soul winning emphasis. While other churches and while other denominations focus on self and on changing their music program, on their preaching styles and leaving the old King James Bible, we must be consistent in our music. We must be consistent in our standards. We must be consistent in our Bible, and we must be consistent in our soul winning. We must keep on reaching the lost to Christ. We must have that emphasis. You see, God's attitude towards a sinner has not changed any. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved. He didn't say some men. He didn't say a few men. He didn't say men who work at it or who desire. No, he says he desires all men. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. For God so loved the world, that's everybody in the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who will have all men to be saved? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and to come to him, come to know the knowledge of the truth. How will lost men hear the truth? We got to tell them. You know, we have the truth, folks. And I just say, the JWs don't. Amen. Okay, it's okay. We can say amen, all right? We're a Baptist church, okay? The Mormons don't have the truth. Okay, and all these other denominations that say, well, you got to work to get to heaven, that's not the truth. Amen. But we have the truth in our hands. You know, but it's sad to see that some of these other denominations, they're more excited about what they think is the truth than we are with the truth. Amen. But we need to get a desire in our soul. We need to get a burning desire. Think about where you'd be had someone not given you the truth. Amen. Someone loved your soul enough, whether it be in a church service, whether it be at your door, wherever it may be, someone loved your soul enough to go ahead and show you from the precious Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. Tell them how the lost world How are the lost men going to hear the truth? We must go tell them. We must tell them that they can know of salvation. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We must realize, tell them that they need to realize that they are a sinner. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. All of us have sinned. There's a price on sin in Romans 6:23. That price is hell. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 20:14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Jesus paid the price, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And of course, in our text there, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody can be saved. Is not, you know, by the way, Jesus didn't select anybody to be saved. You know, he didn't go ahead and say, well, you young man can be saved, but not you. No. He came and he died for all the sins of the world, for everybody. Amen and amen. Whosoever is anybody. He's already chosen all of us by dying on that cross one time for all and for all sin. Doesn't matter who you are tonight. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter who you've hung with. But you can be saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But we must be busy this year, busier than ever, reaching the lost for Christ. We must be busy knocking on them doors. We must be busy reaching them boys and girls for Jesus Christ. Boy, I challenge you, you visit on a bus route just one time, and you go with an open heart, I promise you, you know what? You might just get captured by what you see. You might just be amazed, I should say, by what you see. Seeing them little boys and girls and some of the things that they got to live with. It was so sad. I was out visiting my route yesterday. That's not the sad part. But Grandpa came to the door, one of our faithful, three of our faithful kids from Wareham comes out of this particular home. And it was so, you know, he didn't even think twice about it, but he came. And he was holding a joint in his hand. I mean, I'm sorry, I could tell that there was a difference. It was like he didn't even think twice. Now, okay, yeah, I'll just tell the kids that, you know, it's whatever. And I just walked away just brokenhearted. I was brokenhearted by that. It's amazing. It is amazing. Listen to me. And I'm not glorying in it, but, you know, it's amazing some of the things that you see when you're out visiting them bus kids. They got to live with that day. And, you know, they come and they get taught the Word of God. They get taught to live right. And we sometimes sit there and say, well, they should be coming because of this and this. And think just a little bit of what they got to come out of every week. You know, I mean, let me just say this: we got to have some patience. Now, I'm not condoning unruliness. I'm not that. I mean, we have to have procedures, obviously, and in place for unruly kids. Don't misunderstand me. You know, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? Sometimes we just got to offer some patience. You know, well, so-and-so, you know, they ride the bus. They should know better. They know better for about 2 or 3 hours. They learn it here and so forth. But let me tell you something. There's a whole bunch of other hours throughout the week that they don't have Pastor Weeks, and they don't have Brother Joe, and they don't have their Sunday school teachers. They don't have their bus captain, and they don't have necessarily the truth pointed out to them like you, like the truth is displayed around your home with your kids. They don't have all that. You know, I guarantee you some of the kids that we bring in on Sunday morning, they would love to be here tonight. You know what? Because some of them have even told me, Pastor, I love church. I had one child tell me this: I feel safe at church. I'll tell you something, that speaks volumes about what they may face each and every week. But you know what? We must be busy reaching them boys and girls on them buses. Boy, there's a lot to do. Just say this, you know, we are, and I've said it before, but you know, I just want you to maybe get a vision. When the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. But you know, we're gonna put, you see the two buses out here, we're gonna put the other bus, we're planning on putting the other bus back on the road and getting it course inspected and all that and so on, and sending one bus course to Plymouth and the other bus over to Wareham. And I hope you get a vision this year about what can you do in the bus ministry. I want to take the bus ministry, and that, I'm not saying we're not going to take our drive-in and keep working our area. Don't misunderstand. But I do want to take the bus ministry to another level, and I believe we can do it. Sometimes I know it can be discouraging, and man, you know, where are the kids? Where are the kids? But you know what? The truth of the matter is, we got to go get them. You know, we could use workers. We could use some drivers. We could use different workers here and there, and you know, there have been times it's nice to hear Brother Joe and Brother Robles say, you know what, preacher, we had like 40 or 50 kids downstairs. That's awesome. That's awesome. I know maybe some days, Brother Joe, you know, you're tearing out your hair, you know, that little area downstairs, but that's awesome. That's awesome. That's what it's all about. And I want you to pray about it. You know, I want us to be able to see more boys and girls. This is what I want to see this year. I want to see sinners being saved. I want to see boys and girls being saved. I want to do everything we can to reach these boys and girls and to teach them and to train them. You know, there's nothing more joyous than to pick up. And I'm just going back to my former bus route in Maine, picked up a couple of twin girls. They were seventh grade when I picked them up for the first time. Came every Sunday. And if they could find a ride in Sunday night, they'd be there for youth group Sunday night and be there for church and so forth. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see one of these twins, I should say, go at Bible college. I'm talking about from the bus route. It can never happen. It can happen, man. You just never know. You just never know who might be the next preacher in this crowd. You just never know who might be the next preacher's wife. You just never know who might be the next missionary. You know, you just never know who just might be the one that submits their life to God. And God, wherever you want me to go, go off to Bible college and serve God full time. You just never know. But we got to have a vision for it. We got to have a vision for it. I just happen to believe that somebody, you know, I just happen to believe that God's not through with this old nation yet. He's not through. I just happen to believe tonight there's still people out there that want the truth of the Word of God. They're out there. Well, you don't understand. I went soul winning once, and the door was slammed in my face, and you realize how many times I had to pick my nose off the door? Yeah, I've been there, done that. Many a time. The truth of the matter is, and I know that rejection isn't always fun, but you just never know, listen to me, you just never know, it might be the next door that's just longing for what we have. Boy, we must not quit. We must keep on soul winning. We must keep on reaching others. I want to see sinners being saved. I want to see Christians being rededicated. The Bible says in Isaiah 44:22, the Bible says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, I have redeemed thee. The Bible says return unto me. Maybe there's perhaps someone in this room tonight, among God's people here tonight, you wandered far away from home. You've wandered far away from God. You've got that indifferent heart. You know, the Bible says, God says, return unto me. You know, I long to see some folks who once knew the truth, who knows the truth, and they're saved. Ah, the red mic, please. They're saved. They know for sure they're on their way to heaven, but somewhere along the way, they lost sight of God, if you will. They lost sight of God's will. They lost sight of God's plan. Somewhere along the way, they maybe picked up some things they should not have picked up, maybe drugs or alcohol. And the truth of the matter is, we ought not be the first to cast them out. We ought not be the first to say, hey, there's no use for them. Hey, you know, God says, hey, return unto me. God says there's still hope for them, and we as Christians must have hope for them. You may know somebody right now who's backslidden. You say, well, I don't think it's any use. God doesn't say that. You know, God still says there's a chance. You know, maybe there's someone here tonight, you've got that indifferent heart. Maybe you've almost already stepped out and said, I'm done with church this year, preacher. I'm done with my Bible reading this year, preacher. I'm done with my soul winning, done with my ministry. I don't know. And he says, hey, return unto me. You've got that indifferent heart tonight. Hey, why don't you go ahead and return unto me tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you need to return unto God. Maybe you're here tonight, but you're not really here. You're not really here. Got that cell phone in your hand. Busy texting during the church service. God have mercy. God have mercy. You know, the preacher gets up, preaches their heart out, and you got to go ahead, and you can't, for one moment, you just can't go ahead and keep the cell phone down.
I don't want to hang on to that because I may throw it. But the truth about it, you better be very careful of that. You know, boy, you know, you. Whenever the preacher gets up and preaches the unsearchable riches of Christ, I'm not saying it's because of me. I'm not saying it because I'm the one here tonight. But boy, you ought to come with an open heart. It's no wonder why we leave here the same that we came, simply because we haven't asked God. God, you do something in my heart tonight. God, you move in my heart. God, I want to leave church closer to you than when I came. God, you send a revival in my life. God, you do something. You help me go ahead and deal with the sin that's in my life. I don't know, but maybe there's some people tonight. Maybe there's some teenagers. Maybe there's some families. Maybe there's a mama, a daddy. I don't know who it is, but maybe God said, come back. Come home. Maybe you're as a prodigal and you've left and you're realizing the mistake that you made as a prodigal did. Why don't you come home tonight? Maybe you're here, but you're not really here. The truth is, if you would admit it, the joy is gone, isn't it? You've got out in the world of sin, started rubbing shoulders with the world, and you thought, well, it's just for a little while. I'm going to sojourn over in the world for just a little while, but the world bit you. Ask Abimelech and Naomi what the world did to them. Book of Ruth. Naomi comes back after they were going to sojourn to Moab for just a little while, the Bible says. You know, there was a famine in the land. Bethlehem, Judah, which is the will of God, the house of bread, they should have stayed there and trusted God. But the truth of the matter is, they said, well, the grass is greener on the other side, so they go on down to Moab, which is the world. And as a result, Abimelech dies. Nahum and Chilion dies. And about 10, 15 years later, Naomi comes back after the world has gone ahead and beat on her and beat on her and beat on her. She goes back to Bethlehem, Judah, where she should have been in the first place with her family. And the Bible says, the people says, is this Naomi? And Naomi says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. They had to ask the question, I think that's Naomi of 10 or 12 several years ago. But you know what? In that 10 years or so, the world took a toll on her. They couldn't, I believe that her, everything about her, her description, her face, maybe everything about her just kind of was, her looks was different. Bible says that Naomi was fair, pleasant, but they couldn't even tell. See, you may think the world, oh, the world's not going to affect me. Oh, it will have a big effect. It's only one little drug. It's only one little cigarette. It's only a swig of beer. It's only this and that. It's only one little touch of the hand. It's only one little arm around the girl. It's only this. It's only this. But it's going to stop somewhere. And you may think it's not going to affect you, but it will affect you. I know someone right now living out in the world. It's amazing. It's amazing. Grew up in a godly home. This young person grew up in a godly home. It's amazing what the world has done to this one. It's amazing. It is amazing. You may think it doesn't have an effect on you, but it surely does have an effect on you. Hey, you may be here tonight, but you're not here. Your joy is gone. That spring in your step that you once had when you first got saved and you were growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and you were growing. You were excited about your Sunday school. You're excited about serving God. You've lost that joy. You lost that spring in your step. Why? Why? Is it because maybe you picked up something that you know you ought not pick up? Is it because maybe some critical spirit got to you and you became critical and you've lost your joy and you've lost everything, that peace that you once had? I don't know. What is it? You used to like church. You used to like the preaching. You used to like Sunday school class. You used to like the ministry involvement. But you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. Other interests. Maybe you've gotten involved with the wrong crowd. Maybe you've gotten caught up with critical people. Maybe you've picked up some bad habit. And as a result, you've wandered far away from God. And part of that song says, now I'm coming home. You know, maybe there's some tonight. Maybe you've put on a good front. Preacher can't tell. My wife can't tell. My husband can't tell. My children can't tell. I look like I'm playing the part. I'm sitting up. I sing the songs. You know, in your heart of heart, you're just about done. You're just about through. You know, in your heart of heart, maybe you just backslidden so far and you're just kind of hanging on by a shoestring tonight, maybe by a thread. And you're ready to go ahead and it's going to snap at any time. And you know what? Generally, when that happens, statements like, how did this happen? How did my life get in disarray? Generally, when a good Christian falls and they fall into sin and they start backsliding and turning away from God and the things of God, they start making statements. They'll scratch their head. They'll say, why did this happen? You've wandered away tonight. You left your Bible reading. You left your prayer life. You left your church attendance. The truth is, the things of God have become commonplace. There's no thrill in riding that bus anymore. There's no thrill of hearing the preaching anymore. There's no thrill in driving the bus anymore. There's no thrill in teaching that class anymore. There's no thrill in living for God anymore. There's no thrill in reading your Bible anymore. There's no thrill in making sure you get up and you get your kids ready for church and making sure that they hear the unsearchable riches of Christ and you're there with them and you're teaching them. We've lost the thrill. Who moved away? Who moved away from that? Who moved away? It wasn't God. God is right where you left him. Maybe tonight, you know, God is saying, you know what? Before you go ahead and you go off the deep end, before you fall over the wayside, why don't you, as the Bible says in Isaiah, come unto me, return unto me. Return unto me. Come on back. He's saying, come on back. I can almost see him there, standing there with his open arms. Come unto me. Come unto me. Return unto me. Maybe you put the things, some things above the Lord. Boy, it's always a foolish thing to go ahead and put things above the Lord. It's always a foolish thing to put material things above the Lord. You know, you can't take material stuff with you. Boy, we're so busy, and I'm not opposed to building some things, and if God's given you money and some riches and some wealth, I'm not opposed to that. But the truth of the matter is, if that's all you live for, boy, I tell you, that is a dead-end road. You know what? You can't take all that stuff with you. If you live here and on this, living to the side of heaven, and if that's all, you push God aside, and boy, you come into some money, you got a great career, and praise the Lord for that, and you got the money to buy things and stuff, and if that's all you live for, well, that's a dead end. There's no joy in that. The joy is going ahead and passing it off to the next generation. I'm not against that either. But the truth matters, if that's all you live for, you know what you can take with you? You can take those folks that you won to Jesus Christ with you. I talk about where you're soul winning down here, those that you have influenced in that Sunday school class, those that you've influenced on that bus route, those that you've influenced through your Christian life and your steadiness and your walk with God and you're not wavering and you're not being faint-hearted. You know what? Those that you have influenced in your life, you know, it's nice. It's awesome. It's awesome to hear some of the young people that I've had a part of their life come up to me and say, thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you, Pastor Weeks. You know what? There's a thrill in that. I'm not boasting, but the truth of the matter is we get all wrapped up in stuff, and you know what? God's will is for me to be a preacher? Well, man, that's not a whole lot of money there. Remember when I was working in Chicago, put in my 2-week notice, I was at this place, downtown Chicago, high rise. My boss, got along great with my boss. I believed in, I strived to have a good relationship with him. It was just the way it was. I had no, what he told me to do, I was to do it. Amen? Amen. What I was supposed to do, I mean, if I have a job and my boss tells me to go ahead and do the job, I am supposed to do it. We've kind of gotten away from that instead of griping about it. Amen? But the truth of the matter is, he says, Sean, let me ask you a question. He says, I know you went through Bible college and so forth and so on. You're putting in your notice. He says, are you sure about this? I said, yes, sir. He said, yeah. He says, so what are you going to do? You're going to go off and be a preacher? I said, well, that's my plan. Didn't have a place at that time yet, but I was launching out by faith. And I said, yeah, I'm going to be a preacher. And he goes ahead and, of course, he doesn't understand it all. But he says, what kind of money was that going to make you? And in the same conversation, he was going to take my salary And he was going to bump it up like a 25% bump with all some frills and different things. I'll have to say, I thought about it for 1 second. But I said, Sergio, I said, I can't do that. He says, are you sure? He says, I mean, is the ministry going to go ahead and care for you? I said, yeah. I said, because my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I said, he'll take care of me. He'll never leave me, forsake me. Hey, what I'm saying, listen to me, listen to me. You know what? It's foolish to put things above God. Stuff, material things, and it's not all bad, but it's bad when we go ahead and we move God out of the way. You know, I want to see Christians rededicated this year. Maybe there's someone here tonight under the sound of my voice. You know you're not where you ought to be. You know you're not maybe quite in line with where God wants you to be. Maybe, you know, we all can do better. Every single one of us in this room, we know that we could step out and do better. But maybe there's some things in our life or there's just whatever, and not necessarily bad things, but it's hindering us from maybe doing a little bit more. Hey, I wanted this year, well, let me just say this, you know, God say in return. If you're away tonight, if you're like that prodigal son, I want my inheritance, Dad. Goes to the big city, spends it all, winds up in a pig pen, literally, but he came to himself. Maybe you're out in the world tonight, Christian. Maybe teenager, that's what you're longing for. Maybe that's what you're longing for, teenager. I say, I can't wait till I get out of all these rules. I can't wait until the day don't have to go to church Sunday after Sunday. Oh, let me tell you something, teenager. If you're looking for the world, let me tell you something, that's going to be the wrong road. Let me tell you something, that won't bring joy. That won't bring happiness. Maybe you're here tonight, church member, and you're just about at the edge. You're just about done. And God says, return unto me. He's calling out to you, return unto me. You don't want the world, return unto me. You don't want what the devil offers, return unto me. Hey, sinners, I want to see sinners saved. I want to see Christians be rededicated this year. I want to see Satan resisted. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, we cannot resist the devil in our own strength. That is why we must first submit ourselves to God. If you're here tonight trying to shrug off the devil, trying to push off the devil in your own strength, you're fighting a losing battle, man. Well, you must first submit yourself to God if you're going to resist the devil. When we cannot resist the devil, I lost my place. Anyways, but the devil, he will flee if you submit to God. That means each and every day you get on your face before God. You don't miss that prayer closet. You don't miss that preaching service. You don't miss your ministry. You don't miss your Bible reading. You need to submit your life to God. The Bible says, Paul says, I die daily. He literally had to kill himself. He had to kill his flesh, if you will, daily so that he could be the kind of preacher, the kind of missionary that God wanted me. And if Paul, the great preacher, had to do that, how much more so that we must go ahead and submit ourselves to God every single day. Cody, come up here. I wasn't going to do this, but I hope I can do this illustration so that you understand it. Come up here a minute. He was the perfect fit for this character. You're gonna be the devil. How many of you don't have red on? Anyways, he's gonna be the devil. Again, I'm going to read that verse. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, to the Christian, I'm talking about, I'm trusting tonight that I'm preaching to all Christians. You've been saved. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And the devil would like nothing more to go ahead and take me down. Whether I'm a preacher or whether I'm a layman or whatever the case may be, he'd like nothing more than to take me down. And you know how he's going to do that? He's going to do that by my lack of Bible reading. He's going to do that by my lack of sitting out here in the pew and hearing the preacher preaching, thus saith the Lord. He's going to do that by me, of course, not putting the armor on and latching it on good and tight and being shielded correctly. And the truth of the matter is, I'm that weak Christian. I haven't read my Bible in the last week or so. I haven't gone ahead and I've kind of been hit or miss church and so forth. So, you know, the devil comes along, and because I've not submitted myself to God. Yes, go ahead. See, he overdid that. But listen to me. You know, I had to make sure you're awake tonight. But that's what's going to happen to you. That's what's going to happen to you. Come down here, Cody. But here I am. I'm the Christian that I desire all of us to be tonight. Every single day, you know, of course, the devil's on my coattails. He'd like to destroy me. He'd like to destroy my life. If I was a teenager, he'd like to destroy my purity. Like to destroy God's will for my life. If you're called to preach, you know, let me tell you something, Cody. If you're called to preach, the devil's not happy about that. You teenagers, you're called to full-time Christian service or whatever the case may be, or just going off and graduating and going to school and getting a good a career and raising your family up in church. You know, the devil's not excited about that. The truth of the matter is, you know, as I illustrated a moment ago, if I drop my guard, if I drop the preaching, if I drop the Bible reading, if I drop the prayer life, if I drop my prayer closet, let me tell you something, I have no strength to go ahead and defeat him. No wonder why he'll go ahead and keep on picking and picking and picking and eventually take me down literally. But you know what? When the preacher gets up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, the devil's kind of pick on me a moment, just pick a little bit, you know, amen, preacher, amen, come on, preacher, and you know what, the Holy Spirit's working on me, I kind of push him aside at the altar, oh God, forgive me, oh God, I did this, oh God, forgive me, Monday, you know, the devil's picking on me, amen, preacher, and Monday morning, I get up, and I'm the kind of Christian that I all desire us to be, I want us to make it, but I get my Bible, and I'm in my prayer closet, on my knees, I read my Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Verse number 14 of Romans. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not? And the devil wants to go ahead and try to take me down. But you know, I got a little more strength to take him down. How shall they hear? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. For God so loved the world. Oh God, please. I'm on my knees in prayer. Oh God, please bless me. Oh God, I want to serve you. Oh God, keep me clean. Oh God, keep me pure. I give you my life, God. Oh God, be with my mom and daddy. Oh God, be with my siblings. Oh God, be with my preacher. And I'm praying, and the devil's trying to, but you know what? After a while, the devil, take him down. You okay? You may be seated. You may be seated. But you know what? We're going to have some casualties in this room this year. You know why? Because we've left this. We've left that. We don't show up. We don't serve. We don't find that prayer closet. We don't read our Bible. We don't ask God to go ahead and do something great in our life. You know what? And there's no wonder why there may be some casualties in this room by the end of the year. I don't want that. I want to see this year the old devil beat. I want Faith Baptist Church, of course, we stay united here, amen? We stay in tune with each other and with God. We stay in tune with God, we'll be in tune with each other. We won't have strife, we won't get critical, we won't do this, but the truth of the matter is, as long as we're in tune and we're in one accord, we're serving God together, we're praying together, we're soul winning together, we're doing right together, let me tell you something, the devil will have nothing on Faith Baptist Church. Why? Because Jesus is center point. Amen and amen. I want to see the devil resisted. I want to see him beat. We need to resist Satan's destructive plans. You know, he's not a builder, he's a destroyer. He's a destroyer of all the good that God has done to you and for you. He'll try and destroy your home. He'll try to destroy your church relationships. He'll try to destroy your testimony. He'll try to destroy you if you allow him to. But we got to submit to God daily. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, the Bible says, and he will flee. The devil will flee. Boy, we need to give God time every day. Well, as you soak up the truths of the Word of God, which, by the way, is more powerful than Satan, you soak this in each and every day, the devil will leave you alone. At your desk at work, why not have the Bible handy by? As you got time here or there, why not take a moment and read a chapter? You know, OSAT was a good goal every year. Reading your Bible, you ought to challenge yourself. Read your Bible through the year. You realize about three chapters, an average about three chapters a day, 15, 20 minutes of your time a day, you can get through this book from Genesis to Revelation by the end of the year. It's a good goal. It's a real good goal. You know, and I'm not saying doing it for a competition sake necessarily. I'm saying doing it for your sake. You know, maybe most of us here tonight, you know, you've not taken this Bible from cover to cover and read God's love letter to you. It's no wonder why we don't know and we don't know all the principles and different things, simply because we've not for ourselves. Sometimes we expect the preacher to go ahead and be our religion. Sometimes we expect the preacher to go ahead and be the blessing that you need to be. And I certainly want to go ahead and be the blessing that you need. I want to encourage you. But you know, I can't live for God for you. I gotta live for God for me. But you know what, church member, you gotta walk with God. If you're not gonna be a casualty this year, you gotta walk with God. You know, submit to Him every day. No one, nothing is too hard for God to defeat. Remember last Sunday morning, I think it was, all my time is just whatever. It was last Sunday morning. Yeah, it was last Sunday morning. I was not here. You were rejoicing. No, I hope not. I wasn't, all right? But, I mean, I was glad to be where I was, but don't misunderstand. But anyways, but I called Brother Joe. I said, man, I'm praying for you. He says, yeah, I got a call from Brother Ron. I said, oh, really? And I guess it was a Ouija board placed out here on the steps. I mean, don't misunderstand. I mean, I'm not taking that lightly. I'm not, but let me just say this. It fired me up a little bit. Man, it made me want to preach Sunday morning, man. Let me tell you something. I told Joe, God's a whole lot more powerful than a stupid Ouija board. I said, you just get up. You get up in the power of God this morning, and you just preach. He said, I'm going to preach her. And I know he did. But the truth of the matter is, there's nothing, there's no one too hard for God to defeat. I want to see sinners saved. I want to see Christians' lives rededicated. I want to see Satan's been resisted. I want to see Christians have been revived. Yeah, I know in the Christian life, boy, it can get tiring. Just, you know, the devil, you know, and you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you've got the armor on, but man, sometimes, you know, the devil just keeps on beating and beating and beaten, and it can get tiring. The mockery for doing right can get tough, can get tiring. It can get difficult. But I want to see Christians revive. Maybe here tonight, and you're just kind of, man, I'm almost at the end of my rope here, preacher. Hold on. Okay, just checking here. I'm doing okay, all right? But I'm almost at the end of my rope. I'm tired. I'm weary. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:15, the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord, saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This verse tells us the Lord will revive. Let me tell you something. You may be tired tonight. Preacher, man, I'm just tired. You know, I go, I get made fun of at work, this and that, whatever, and just bam, bam. Bam, you may get tired tonight, but God has the strength to revive you. God has the ability to revive you. You know, let me just say this about our nation. I'm not ready to give up on this old nation. You know, I want to see a revival in this nation. I know, because God is all-powerful, He's got the life that He can breathe into this old sin-sick world and this old sin-sick nation who I believe turned her back on God. I believe that we can see revival here tonight. I believe God's people can be revived tonight. The Lord has a power to revive us. The Lord has a power to revive this old nation. The contrite in verse 57:15 of Isaiah, contrite means to be crushed, broken into pieces. is unshattered. You know what? God has the ability to go ahead and shatter all the junk of this world. He has the ability to shatter the wicked things and the wicked. The humble means to be brought low. It's the opposite of whatever pride is. The Lord has the final word. I do believe we can see revival. Maybe this year's the year, amen? But I do know this, that revival in this great nation is on our shoulders. If we're going to see revival, we must be revived. We must wake up. We must not be weary in well-doing. We must not get tired. We must not get faint-hearted. We must not quit. We must put on the whole armor of God. If we're going to see revival in our families, if we're going to see revival in this whole world, if we're going to see revival in this beloved nation of ours, hey, we need to have revival in our own lives. We need to be revived tonight. We need to humble ourselves. Boy, if we're going to see revival, the Christian must want revival. Let me ask you a question. How bad do you want to see countless souls saved? How bad do you want families to be put back together in the love of the Lord? How bad do you want our nation to turn her face back to God again? How bad did you are you willing to give up the things and the besetting sins and the things that drag you down or and will eventually destroy you? How bad do you want revival? Is all the petty things, is all the petty stuff that important to you that we just kind of let the status quo go on? Let me tell you something. If we remain that way, if we remain in such a situation, position that we just don't care, I believe this, we're all going to have blood on our hands. I believe that every single one of us, you know what, we ought to have a testimony that speaks volumes for Christ. Boy, in that workplace, boy, you ought to be revived. You ought to be excited. You ought to be revived tonight. And when you go at the workplace, someone ought to see a difference in you simply because you tested, not necessarily because you had a chance to sit down with them, show them from the gospel, but they ought to see something in your testimony. You'll walk talks and you'll talk talks, but you'll walk talks louder than your talk talks. They ought to see something different in you. Do you want a revival? You know, the responsibility of revival is on our shoulders. We know the verse, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then. He says, you know what? You want revival? You want me to hear from heaven? You want me to forgive your sin? You want me to heal your land? Hey, you got to get right. You got to get on your knees, Christian, if you want revival. Revival starts with us. Stop letting the materialism, stop letting things, stop letting a critical spirit, stop letting emotions get in the way of serving and having revival in your life. You know, it's sad. Other countries want what we want more than we do. Third world countries want, there are people in China, talk about the China Mission Project a few moments, you know, there are people in China that want what we have, and it's a closed country to the Word of God, and they want more of what we have than we do. For many years, Russia was open. Boy, they are hungry for the Word of God. And they couldn't pump enough Bibles, King James Bibles, in their missionaries would tell me, couldn't pump enough, there was a time in Russia, couldn't even pump enough King James Bibles in there to go ahead and give to the hands of the people that wanted them. I hear that about the Philippines all the time. An American missionary comes over and preaches, thus saith the Lord, and oftentimes they'll go ahead and bring hundreds and thousands of Bibles over, and they don't even have enough to go ahead and fill the hands of the people that, I want a Bible. I want a Bible. Oftentimes, if they're able to just get a page of the Bible, they'll take a page and they'll make it precious. And sad, our country, this book's plentiful. Go down to any bookstore, and unfortunately today you have to dig for the King James Bible. But you know what? Just about any, you can go to Walmart and pick up a King James Bible. Go to your Bible bookstore, and if they don't have the King James Bible, you can order it, whatever. They're plentiful in this country. Boy, it's sad that other people want revival, but we don't. They want our Bibles. They want our preaching. They want the giving it to them straight, if you will. They want the Christianity. But what do we want? I want to be satisfied. I want comfort. I want to see sinners saved. I want to see Christians rededicated. I want to see Satan resisted. I want Christians to be revived. And you know what? It may be that the Savior returned this year. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I long to see our Savior face to face. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:3, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am. Oh, I love this. That where I am, there ye may be also. This may be the year. He's going to come in suddenly. Bible says he's going to come in such an hour that you think not. It's amazing, all the predictions. 2012! Okay. My Bible says no man knows the hour. No man knows the time. Now, it may be 2012. But it may be tonight. It may not be tonight, but it may be next week or next month or next year. It may not even be next year. It may not even be 2012. It may be 2015. I don't know. You know, forget about these people that go ahead and say, well, you know what? It's going to be this time, 2012, December, whatever, of 2012. That's it. Maybe it is. But my Bible says no man knows. But this may be the year. Are you ready? Are you ready? The church member, you ready? Oh, I sing at the choir. I'm all set. Yeah, no. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, I come to church every... Are you ready? I teach a study. Are you ready? If Jesus was to come tonight, and he may, would you go with him? Bible says, talks about the weird, the wheat and the tares. Can't tell them apart. You know, heard Brother Howells preach it once, and it doesn't matter what size any fundamental Baptist church is, there's probably some tares amongst the wheat. We've, whatever. We look the part, we act the part, we play the part. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to do that at all. I want you to be prepared. Hey, what I want to see this year, I want to see sinners saved. Let's just run them two old buses and let's fill them up, amen? Let's keep on knocking on doors. I believe there's some families around here that want what we have. It's been exciting to see what God has done. His people coming by, stopping in. I want to see Christians rededicated, returning to God. Maybe you're that like that tonight. And God's saying, come. Return unto me. I want to see Satan resisted. I want to see Christians revive. Yeah, I want to see Jesus come back. The news will give you a lot of negative things, but you know what? Tonight, we have some good tidings that we can go ahead and share. We have the truth that we can share this year. Take it. Take the truth. I challenge you, share it with somebody this year. I challenge you, get in the truth each and every day this year. Our Heavenly Father, I sure do love you, and I thank you for this church, and I thank you for your goodness and your love to us. And God, how we need a revival in this land. I love this nation with all my heart, and I'm not going to be a preacher of doom. I'm not going to be a preacher that it's all over for this country. I'm not going to be that way. I just know that you've given us responsibility. We must get on our knees and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, our selfish ways, our prideful ways. I pray, dear God, that some of us will be revived tonight. Pray, dear God, maybe for that backslidden one that's wandered far away from God. And I pray tonight they'll say, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm going to fall back in the arms of Jesus, and I'm going to let him lead me. Where he leads me, I will follow. God, I want our church, and I want us personally to see souls saved. I want the old devil resisted. And God, I long to see our Savior's face. This may be the year. But if not, I pray that we'll keep busy doing what you've called us to do. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe here tonight. God spoke to your heart some way, somehow.